This is D. Wills with the Real Sports Guys, and you can always follow us on Twitter at Real Sports Guys. And always friend us at Real Sports Guys Radio on Facebook. And always, you can always catch us at realsportsguys.com. Thank you for supporting us. All right.
Well, I'd like to welcome to the show our good friend and colleague who was on our show last week from boxing.com, Teron Briggs. How you doing? How you doing, Teron?
Hey, how's it going there, man? Thank you for having me back on, man. I had a great time, you know, making my first appearance on your last show. You guys served up some questions that made me seem pretty smart. Even my friends were like, "Oh, wow, I didn't know you were that knowledgeable." So I want to thank you for that, man.
Now, don't give us all that credit. That's that Morehouse education coming to pass right here. So you're showing the quality of a liberal arts education. We got a number of liberal arts educated cats who get on this show. But, man, we were going back and forth on Twitter. You know, everybody knows by now what happened. It was a shocker. You were commenting on the fight. You were all over the place. What was your initial, just as you look at the fight, just frame it for you and how you experienced Pacquiao Marquez 4. What was it like for you?
Well, for me, as a, boxing enthusiast, and fanatic, I watch every fight, pretty much every fight that's televised, fights on the internet over in, you know, Germany and stuff. But when there's a major fight on the level of a Marquez Pacquiao, I love to go to sports bars and watch it with a bunch of other fans, whether it be a sports bar or, you know, maybe a friend's house for a fight gathering, because it's always great to see how non-boxing or non-boxing fanatics sort of view a fight and just see their reaction in it. And how they take it in. I love the whole atmosphere there. So I got an opportunity to go to this bar in Manhattan, because I'm up in New York, like you mentioned in the last show, in the city. And the bar that I went to was predominantly a Marquez crowd. It was probably something like 70-30, pretty much the same ratio that my colleague for Boxing.com told me it was like in the arena in Vegas. And they were going crazy even before the fight started. When Marquez came out to the ring and they played his music, a lot of the people there who were of Mexican descent were singing along. And I mean, even to this day, I have no idea what song he came out to, but they were getting teary-eyed singing along to this song. And that's just how, you know, the nationality and the pride that they have for him. And then, you know, there were obviously some rough moments there in a fight for Marquez. There were times where the crowd went silent. There were times where they were jubilant. There were times where the Marquez and the Pacquiao people were going back and forth. And then, you know, with that knockout, I want to say that the crowd went jubilant. I want to say that people got ecstatic. But there was really almost like a silence that resulted, that was, you know, part of the shock. People were, you know, their mouths were literally wide open. I looked at the crowd's reaction at the arena when you have a highlight reel knockout like that. And if you look behind Pacquiao, when he's laying face first on the floor, and you look into the crowd, you look at like the faces of like Mitt Romney and Bob Arum and all of these guys, their mouths were wide open. I think everyone was initially stunned, and then, you know, all of the Marquez fans became jubilant and, you know, couldn't control themselves. And all of the Pacquiao fans were immediately, you know, disheartened. And, you know, there were a couple, I know some friends who told me they were in tears. So.
And the thing about, you know, I have not had a reaction like that since Buster Douglas beat Mike Tyson. In the way in which I reacted to the punch and then what happened after it. I mean, it was almost something came out of my mouth what I can't repeat on the air. And I know folks in my house were like, you know, it was just such a natural reaction, because even though Pacquiao had been knocked down, if he had been knocked down by several punches and been knocked down, I'd have been okay. But that brutal knockout, I didn't ever think he would get knocked out that way. And as you said, the reaction of the folks behind him, when you look at the faces of those folks, were incredible. Considering Pacquiao almost ended the fight in the fifth, and then what happened in the sixth? And when you were watching the fight, what went wrong? I mean, where did you see that Pacquiao was making mistakes?
Well, he simply was making – he was – I mean, listen, aggressiveness is good. You know, to be a great fighter, to when you yearn for greatness, you yearn to do great things. And you go in the ring and you try to do that. You know, very rarely are you going to see a great fighter be content with earning a decision or boxing his way to a decision. If a fighter thinks – a great fighter thinks that he has his opponent hurt or has them, you know, figuratively on the ropes, he's going to try to go for the kill. And I really believe that Pacquiao was trying to go for the kill. I mean, like you said, he was all of the, you know, the, once the judges' scorecards were revealed after the fight, he was ahead on all three judges' scorecards, so only by a point, but still ahead. In that fifth round, which was, you know, which I put in my my week that was column that's going to run on boxing.com today, I put that was the round of the year. The fifth round was,
oh,
you know,
it was the round of the year. Yes.
Yeah. And there were some good rounds this year. You know, we had some really good fights this year. But hands down, I don't even need to look back. That was the round of the year. That was the best round that those two guys had fought, you know, in the, what is it now, something like, 30-plus rounds that they've gone. So, and then in that sixth round, it was even, things started to look even better for Pacquiao. And I think that he, you know, after having been knocked down, like you said, after having his knocked down earlier in the fight, he started to feel like he was getting his rhythm again. And I really think that he thought that he was going to be able to finish Marquez off, and he went in and he missed with the punch. And Marquez, aside from Floyd Mayweather, is the best counter puncher in the game, and he just landed the perfect counter punch. I mean, there's nowhere else to put it.
You're on with the Real Sports Guys. I'm on with Teron Briggs, who is on boxing.com. You can find him at Teron Nicholas on Twitter. You got to follow him. He is a fun follow on Twitter. When you think about Marquez's strength and the strength that he demonstrated during the fight, there are questions, you know, there were questions raised with his conditioning coach Hernandez, who had been involved in some other issues with PEDs, but I'm surprised that I haven't heard post-fight a lot of conversation around that. Just people recognizing that Marquez has just worked very hard. And can you give me a sense? Have you been hearing anything, or can you talk a little bit about why you think we're not hearing much about that?
Yeah, sure. Well, the guy in question you're talking about, his coach is actually Heredia, Heredia.
Okay.
I could be wrong with the pronunciation there.
Okay.
But the reason I've seen a couple of writers write some things about it, but I think one of the major reasons why it's kind of has not gotten a lot of steam is because specifically Manny Pacquiao and his people have not really embrace the whole idea of Olympic style steroid testing,
okay,
you know, and performance enhancing drug testing. I mean, obviously, you know, the whole Pacquiao and Mayweather fight, one of the big contentions and one of the big reasons that they haven't fought was the fact that Mayweather wanted Olympic style PED testing and Pacquiao's people balked at it. So going into the fight, you heard a couple of things from guys like Roach, like Freddie Roach, like Pacquiao's trainer, you know, sort of question him. And like you said, you heard some things from Manny Pacquiao's strength conditioning coach, you know, questioning the other guy. But there was really only so much of a fuss they could make when they themselves had sort of dodged the question before and refused to make that a topic worthy of discussion. So when you yourself do that, then all of a sudden, you know, it looks really – it doesn't look right when you start pointing the finger at someone else and saying, oh, man, you know, we suspect he could be using PEDs. But meanwhile, when someone, you know, accused you of using PEDs, which Mayweather did, you flatly refused that you had, and then you refused to do the testing. So
as I was thinking through some of this, you know, you think about what Ariza – has been talking about. I mean, he actually have said, you know, that they should have done more strength and conditioning. Did you notice that when you watched the fight?
I honestly didn't. You know, conditioning is ultra important in the sport of boxing. When you're you know, when you're fighting for 12 rounds and you don't have anyone to come in and replace you, you have to be in amazing conditioning. Strength is to a certain degree is overrated. I mean, man, Juan Manuel Marquez has been one of the greatest fighters in recent history, and he was never considered a knockout puncher. He was a great counter puncher. You know, he was a very accurate puncher. He's, you know, a great technical fighter. But strength, just brute strength in the sport of boxing isn't necessarily always a positive. So from everything that we heard about Manny's recent camp was that, you know, even though he had been focusing less on strength and conditioning, he had been spending more of that time with Freddie Roach in the gym, hitting the mitts, working on his boxing technique. So to me, I don't really think that played a large factor in the fight or in him losing.
Well, and I think, you know, when I watched the fight, I thought he was much more aggressive. Both of them decided early on that this is not going the distance. It was clear that somebody was going to go down. They had decided early on, and you could tell because they both were throwing with bad intentions. Was that your feeling? Did you have a feeling early on? I mean, the fifth round, I agree with you, is probably the round of the year. Did you sense that they both had basically said, look, enough of this. This is the fourth fight. Somebody going to decide this right now. Was that your feeling?
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. And, you know, they both had said it prior to the fight, but, you know, and you follow boxing, and, you know, and for those who do, you know, smack talk in boxing comes in an abundance. You get it, you know, everybody or most people have a whole lot of smack to say prior to a fight, you know, whether it be to hype up the fight or to hype themselves up or maybe try to intimidate their opponent. And then they get in the ring, and a lot of times they don't back it up. Both of these guys said they wanted a knockout. You know, Pacquiao was coming off of the controversial but still loss to Timothy Bradley in his last fight. So, you know, the third time that he fought Marquez, many people thought Marquez had gotten a decision. So there was a lot of rumors about him, about his skills deteriorating and him not being the same fighter he was, you know, not having that kind of knockout, not having a highlight reel knockout since he knocked out Ricky Hatton, you know, which is like 4 years ago at this point. So he came into this fight feeling like he needed to prove something. And Marquez, you know, he had everything in the world to prove because he felt like he had been robbed by the judges in the decisions that he had lost to Pacquiao. So him and his people were saying, you know, we don't feel like we can trust the judges to give us a fair decision. We have to convincingly beat this man or knock him out. So, yeah, no, I completely agree with you. They both came in that ring on Saturday night with the intention of not only just being victorious, but of knocking the other guy out and getting a definitive victory.
We're here with Teron Briggs, who is with Boxing.com. You can follow Teron on Twitter at Teron Nicholas, at Teron Nicholas, which Nicholas is his middle name. Incredible person. If you don't get a chance, follow him on Twitter. He'll keep you up on what's going on with boxing. He has a column the week that was that I think will be. It's important to go to boxing.com and follow that. As you look at this and think about the next phase for Pacquiao and Marquez, where do you think they go from here?
Well, and as I put in my column on that ran today, for in terms of Pacquiao, any and all talk about him retiring is out. He pretty much said it in the ring when he was, you know, interviewed in the post-fight interview. He said that, you know, I'm basically not going to retire. And from everything that I hear from, you know, a lot of prominent people around the sport, is that financially he still needs to fight. You know, it's not. I've never heard anyone say that Manny Pacquiao is broke or Manny Pacquiao has, you know, creditors chasing after him. But if anyone watches 24/7, you know, any of the series, they'll see that this man has a huge entourage. You know, he's gotten afforded a very luxurious lifestyle that, you know, that the that his ring earnings have allowed him to have, and it really appears like he has leveraged himself quite a bit. So from a financial perspective, he's going to want to fight. From a fighter's perspective, He's still, he'll be 34 later this month. He's still relatively young. I mean, is he, I think it's pretty clear that he's outside of his prime, but what, I mean, what boxer, what great boxer ever leaves in his prime? I mean, it's like gambling. You know, you don't, you're not going to walk away from the table when you're hot as hell. You know, maybe if you lose a couple hands and things start looking too good, you might decide to fold in a tent. But as long as you're riding it high, as long as you're doing good and you're making money, and Pacquiao is still, you know, the second most popular fighter in the sport today, there's still very lucrative options out there for him. The biggest, the most reasonable fight in terms of lucrative options for him is a fifth rematch with fifth fight with Marquez. It'll be easy to make because they share the same promoter, Top Rank. They obviously have a history together. And Pacquiao probably wants revenge. I mean, when a man knocks you out like that, you usually want to get him back. And I'm assuming that Pacquiao wants to get Marquez back. And then pretty much the same thing holds for Marquez. He's not as big of a star as Pacquiao, so his options outside of Pacquiao aren't as lucrative, but he's still there's still a lot of good fights. Just talk about one of them possibly fighting Brandon Rios, who's also with Top Rank, and he's a undefeated fighter who was in before Saturday night's Marquez Pacquiao fight. He was in what many people considered to be the fight of the year. So there are still some attractive options out there for both guys, but I would be surprised if it was not in early 2013 or late 2013 we saw them fight for a fifth time.
And the thing about it, I mean, we've learned, we watched Lennox Lewis get knocked down. I mean, we've seen some great fighters do that and bounce back and fight. And sometimes that's an intriguing story. That's a draw when you look vulnerable. I mean, many folks thought, you know, didn't see the Bradley fight as a loss, even a mark against his record. But we've seen our favorite champions, and sometimes that's a draw for folks. As you look at the landscape of boxing, where are we? I mean, I know there's been some developments. Can you just kind of update us on where we are right now with boxing?
Yeah, no, certainly. Well, one of the big rumors out there right now, and this fighter has basically kind of confirmed that he's interested in returning to fight, and that fighter is Shane Mosley. You know, Sugar Shane, the last time we saw him in the ring was in May of this year, where he lost a lopsided decision to Saul Canelo Alvarez, a fight where, you know, I don't think more than a few people, I don't think many people gave him more than one or two rounds in that fight, and he looked completely shot, you know, and that was on the heels of his 12-round unanimous decision loss to Pacquiao, and then, you know, his unanimous decision loss to Mayweather. But at 40 years old, it appears that Shane Mosley is considering ending his retirement, which hasn't even been a full year now. And apparently, you know, he said that he sees some things in the current welterweight title holder, Paulie Malignaggi, that he thinks he can possibly exploit, and he thinks that could be a good matchup for him. So, you know, only time will tell, but there's a good chance that in the first half of 2013 we could see Shane Mosley back in the ring. One of the big fights on the calendar for early 2013 was one of the, you know, the guy who now might actually be the top two pound-for-pound fighter in the world, with Manny Pacquiao losing, that being Andre Ward, the former Olympic gold medalist. He was set to face the former middleweight champion Kelly Pavlik in a fight in February on HBO. That fight has now been postponed because Andre Ward injured his right shoulder in a sparring session. That fight was going to be January 26th. It's been postponed to February 23rd. So, you know, that's going to be right now, over the course of the next year, we could see a battle between Andre Ward and Floyd Mayweather for the pound-for-pound list. If, you know, if you're into the pound-for-pound things, those are probably the two top pound-for-pound fighters now. That's pretty much it for the major boxing stories. I mean, we have another HBO fight this weekend, which is the return of Amir Khan, whose star is really starting to fade. You know, at one point People thought he was going to be the next great British superstar in the sport of boxing. He's lost his last couple of fights. He's coming back. He's fighting a relative unknown this week, this guy named Carlos Molina, and he's actually fighting without his former trainer, Freddie Roach, who he fired. So that could be an interesting fight. Khan, though he's knocked a lot, he's almost always in interesting fights, even if he ends up on the wrong end of a decision or ends up getting knocked out. So in terms of before the year is out, that's probably the one of the best fights left on the calendar.
Well, man, as usual, you're bringing it. Teron Briggs it's been good, man. Y'all can find him on Teron Nicholas, at Teron Nicholas on Twitter, and follow him at boxing.com. Week that was, did I get that correct? You know, it's always good to have you on and to be there. We're looking forward to having you before the next fight, man.
Oh, man, I appreciate all the love, Dee. Thank you for having me back. You guys do some great work here, and I look forward to returning and discussing some more major boxing news. There's always something going on in this crazy sport.
All right, that's Teron Briggs, and we're gonna go to a little musical interlude before we go back to the Game Changer in the studio.
You listen to The Real Sports Guys, realsportsguys.com, brought to you by Resistance Digital Solutions, resistancedigital.com. You listen to The Real Sports Guys, realsportsguys.com, brought to you by Resistance Digital Solutions, resistancedigital.com.